Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our children in the 21st century, homeschooling them because we're trying to give them a distinctively biblical worldview. We want them to see the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview, and that's why we bring stories to this table as we broadcast to 90 countries around the world and all 50 states around America, and we interpret what's going on in the news by way of a biblical perspective. And I think that's very important, especially when we treat stories like the Trayvon Martin case down in Florida. Dave, this is a incendiary issue. This is a bomb just about ready to blow, and it's not just in Florida. It's all over the place. There is a problem right now in America, and I think that problem has existed for a long, long time. It's existed since Cain killed his brother. Let's just say it. At the point where you had that level of anger and hatred that exploded into the murder of a brother shortly after the fall of man, this problem of hate and anger and murder just continues to rage through continents. In the modern age, it takes the form of racism. And I hate racism, Dave. I hate it to the very core. I hate the definition of it. I hate the idea of it. I there's nothing I like about racism. Nothing.
Well, racism is one of those terms that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
There's only one race. It's the human race.
Right.
Now, inside the human race, we have blue-eyed people. We have green-eyed people. We have people with belly buttons that stick out and some people with belly buttons that stick in.
Yeah.
These are traits. Now, certain traits have been gathered together in certain places after the flood. So Jephthah's relatives live in one particular area by and large, and certain traits that were common to him have been more prevalent in the population. And we can look at those traits and we say, well, you're a person who looks like they're from Asia. You look Asian to me because you have Asian traits, or you have traits that are common to people who are settled in Africa. You have African-looking traits. But they're the same race, Kevin. It's just blue-eyed, green-eyed.
And there are different characteristics. It's true. There are different physical characteristics. There are different cultural characteristics. Some cultures have different forms of food they like. Some have different forms of language. Some have different forms of expression. Some have different games they like to play. Just different people have different likes and dislikes, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's amoral. That's no reason why we ought to hate somebody or love somebody else. It's just differences that are within the human race. Yet, Dave, you know that there are sins that tend to congregate in certain areas as well. Certain families have problems with drunkenness, for example. Some tribes, some nations have issues with fornication. Some might have more issues with homosexuality. Some may have more issues with lying. In contracts, there may be some areas, and we all have sins. And here's the common denominator. We're all sinful. We all need the grace of God. We absolutely need God to save us from our sins. And they may be different sins, and yet, Dave, I think the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the most unified bunch of people on planet Earth, because we all come together with one common issue, and that is sin. Now, granted, there are differences in our sins. That is, one group may come and they've got problems with homosexuality. Another group comes in, they've got problems with fornication. Another group comes in, they've got problems with hatred. You have another people over here and they lose their temper every third day. You have people over here, they lie in contracts. So we all come together in a church. We join Repentance Community Church, and it's the fact that we all come to repent of various sins and throw those sins at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and claim the same Savior, the same baptism, the same faith, and the same body of Christ, and we eat of the same bread and we drink of the same cup and we commune with the same Savior. That has got to be the only common denominator that's going to press through the differences between the cultures, the tribes, the nations that are afflicting people all over the world, especially in Florida right now with this Trayvon Martin case. Now, let's get back to the Trayvon Martin case just for a second. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that, you know, the land helps develop the people. If you live in a beach community, you're going to have a different set of sins than somebody who lives out in the farmland. So the land helps. So it's not just familial lines. It's not just bloodlines. It's also geography. It's also who you participate in. If you go to a church and you learn a lot about Scottish Puritans, that's going to affect your culture. But here's the thing. You know, the Scottish Puritans, they had a problem too. The Scottish are known for wanting to get into fights. So now Presbyterians are sometimes criticized for wanting to duel with each other, and our friend R.C. has said that's not part of Presbyterianism, that's part of being Scottish. I'm German. I'm from a German background.
And what sort of sins do Germans have?
Well, we like to take over the French every 30 years or so. You know.
Okay.
And we also like to drink. And
too much.
Drink and drink.
And drink.
Okay. Which is something that we have in common with the Irish.
Right.
So we have different characteristics, different places. But Paul says there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. Now, he's not talking about roles. He's not talking about status within a marriage. He's saying in the kingdom of Christ, which is the whole world, everybody's included. It's no longer just Jews. It's Jews and Gentiles. It's no longer just the men who have the covenant sign. It's men and women. That's why women are baptized and women come to the Lord's Supper.
Sure.
And it's not just the Ethiopian or the Jew or the Egyptian. It's everybody. We are all God's children, if we're his children by faith.
Dave, I don't really want to spend much time with this Trayvon Martin case, especially trying to take a side or trying to unwrap what happened, who's to fault, and all of the others. But I do want to interact with the Wall Street Journal, because here's an article from Juan Williams. You brought this to my attention just before we got on the air. I think it's very helpful. I don't think he nails it, but he comes within a barn door or two of the issue. This is Juan Williams from the Wall Street Journal, and the article is called The Trayvon Martin Tragedies. He says the shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Florida has sparked national coverage, with civil rights leaders from San Francisco to Baltimore leading protests calling for a new investigation and the arrest of the shooter. But what about all the other young black murder victims? Nationally, nearly half of all murder victims are black. Now, that blew me away. Nearly half of murder victims are black. And my understanding is, I don't know what the ratios are, but my guess is they're probably 20-30% of the population. I mean, they're not the majority of the population at all. We've got Hispanics, we have Orientals and whites and others. And so you have people from other cultural backgrounds in this country, and certainly the blacks do not make up the majority. But he also said the overwhelming majority of those black people are killed by other black people. Where is the march for them? Where is the march against the drug dealers who prey on young black people? Where's the march against bad schools, where 50% dropout rate exists for black teenage boys? Those failed schools are certainly guilty of creating the shameful 40% unemployment rate for black teens. How much marching against the cable television shows constantly offering minstrel show images of black youth as rappers and comedians who don't value education, dismiss the importance of marriage, and celebrate killing people, drug money, and jailhouse fashion? On and on he goes. Dave, I mean, he doesn't quite get there. Doesn't quite get there. I mean, he says, oh, it's the school's fault that you have 40% unemployment among young black males. What he's saying is there's something systemically wrong.
There's something, and he sees the fruit.
And he sees the fruit of it. And you know, just horse sense, there's something wrong here. 72% of these little black children raised in the inner cities are born without fathers. I mean, that's horrible. Dave, that's devastation. That's dropping a nuclear bomb on the nuclear family within the black population. That's horrible. That's the most fundamental, devastating issue that could exist in this population, and blame it on LBJ. Again, I'm not blaming it on LBJ because of his skin color. Skin color has nothing to do about it. He's nothing to do about it. So please don't just say it's a skin color issue. It's an ideological thing. When LBJ came up with the Great Society and said, hey, let's develop the inner city such that 72% of these little kids will be born without fathers, and let's replace the fathers with the almighty socialist state, and let's place everybody on the federal plantation, he did millions and millions and millions and millions of these families a disservice. Dave, he put the gun to the head of this nuclear family. He pulled the trigger, and we have yet to understand the consequences of this incredibly devastating thing that, of course, has been promulgated by Democrats and Republicans for the last 40 years.
Well, we can go to LBJ. We can go before. We certainly see that the slave trade was a very large problem.
Sure.
And where people were lost their liberty, they were told how to live and so forth. We don't need to rehash that. But at least, and I don't mean to say this to justify the slave business, but at least there were families. And what we have now is the government has become the surrogate husband.
Yeah.
And there is a huge problem of unwed in the black community.
And make no mistake about it, Dave, slavery did split up families. They did that a lot. Now, they didn't do it as much as they did it with LBJ. But they did it a lot, and I think it was rooted in that wretched system. It was a wretched system. It was this idea that somehow you could develop these huge plantations, these huge corporations, and enslave hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And these families would not have their own family economies. Actually, the North had family economies, and the Puritans said, forget about the slavery. Let's focus mainly on developing family economies. And John Adams and Abigail Adams would have their own farm, and they had their children work in the farm, and that was what they did in the North. In the South, unfortunately, they went to these big plantations, and they really didn't develop the family economy as they did in the North. And the result was a breakdown of the nuclear family in the South. And, Dave, I think that was the beginning of it. Now, in the North, eventually moved to corporations and the Industrial Revolution. That was in the 1830s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And so later on, you certainly have a breakdown of the nuclear family within everybody else. So now you have a total devastation everywhere. The family hardly exists, a mere fragment of what it once was. There's 7 times more kids born without fathers than did in 1960, 10 times a shack-up rate. People aren't even having kids anymore. They ship them off to daycare. 64% of them are latchkey by the time they're 6 years of age. Yeah, right now we've just completely trashed the family everywhere. And Dave, I don't think that the plantations in the South was helping things very much as they were splitting up families here and there throughout the 1800s. But then you get into the 1900s, and like things aren't all that much better.
No. Part of what happens is the sins that were committed in the 1700s and the 1800s became a source of bitterness in the 1900s. Now,
yeah,
we know,
sure,
when people are rooted in bitterness, they're not going to accomplish much.
Yeah.
What they want is revenge, the envy. So what we see in the Trayvon Martin case, the facts aside, what we do know is that the race hustlers, that is those people who have to stir up racial issues in order to keep themselves famous and rich and so forth, the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons. Now, I believe Jesse has a child out of wedlock too, doesn't he?
Maybe. I don't know.
These people are, you know, jump in front of the camera. They're stirring things up. But what's worse is there's other people, like the New Black Panthers, who put a bounty on Mr. Zimmerman's head, which is outrageous. And as far as I know, no law enforcement agency and no politician has come out and condemned the idea of a citizen bounty against somebody who's already cooperating with the police.
David.
And then you have Spike Lee, who tries to publish this guy's address, I guess, to inspire a drive-by shooting or something. It gets that wrong. But this is outrageous, Kevin. This is a lynching sort of thing, and it's motivated by bitterness and hate.
Yeah, and not by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the redemption offered by him. Because really, friends, I mean, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, you would think, if he is a Reverend Jesse Jackson, he ought to point people to the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, does that make sense to anybody? Does that make sense that Jesus died for Jew and Gentile? Does it make sense that he died for Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their posterities? Friends, does it make sense at all that we all ought to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and find the greatest unity we could ever find? Dave, I don't see these guys, I don't see the Reverend Al Sharpton encouraging us to go to the cross of Christ, repent of our hatred, and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and forgive each other, because if you're forgiven by Jesus Christ, you need to forgive everybody else and not be bitter against everybody else and live as Christians. Dave, I mean, whatever happened to that Christian message? Is that sort of lost in the race riots?
Well, it seems like it's been lost a long time. It turns out that race probably pays a little better than forgiveness in terms of fame and fortune and some of the things that certain people are appealed to. It happens in the white community as well.
Oh, sure.
There are white racists and there are white pastors who drop the message of the gospel and the law of God in order for a message that sells better, sells more books, and gets more camera time.
Yeah.
We can name those, but we don't need to. The point here, Kevin, is that people are profiting off of stirring up hate and dissension. And that's the problem.
Dave, the problem is 72% of these kids are born without fathers. And I think we ought to go to the Dennis Rodman story that just hit the press. Dennis Rodman was a basketball player, as I recall, for the L.A. Lakers. Was it like 15, 20 years ago? He was kind of the edgy, you know, part of the 90s. I mean, now he's sort of mainstream. I remember Dennis Rodman with all the body piercings looked a little odd back in the 80s and 90s. But now it's pretty much everybody looks this way, so who cares? But it was before that whole destructive system pretty much destroyed Western civilization and the culture took on the nihilistic approach. But now you have Dennis Rodman. He's an old man. I mean, he's an old man. And Dave, he's not paying his child support. I mean, this is a classic story. And he's got kids born out of wedlock, or he's got kids that are not being raised by their father because of divorce. And so the story goes. And Dave, this isn't just Dennis Rodman. We're talking about tens of millions of little boys who will not be raised by their daddy because their daddy fornicated, their daddy divorced, their daddy wasn't there for them. And friends, this is pretty much normative today. Pretty much normative. Now, I don't know what a society looks like when this is normative over a period of 20, 25, 30, 35 years. As far as I know, we've never, ever in the history of the world seen the unraveling of a socioeconomic system as bad as the one we have right before us right now. Dave, Dennis Rodman.
Well, Dennis Rodman was a freak show during his playing days, but for some reason or other, he was highly marketable. Even McDonald's used him for a commercial, orange hair, body piercings, tattoos, the whole bit.
He made a few bucks.
He made some bucks. He was the gangsta image in the NBA. He certainly was part of the bad boy image that the NBA was catering to, and he made a lot of bucks. He was part of the Lakers. I believe he played for the Pistons, and he played a little bit with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. He was well known. He was probably one of the most famous players of that era. But right now, he can't afford child support from his third wife.
Child support for his third wife. Okay, so that means he's been married at least three times, maybe four.
At least
maybe
three
five.
Times.
We don't know.
At least three times, and we don't know if he has children out of wedlock. And it's not unique to black athletes. It's unique to all people who cast off the law of God and really don't keep their vows.
Sure.
When they enter into a sexual union with somebody, but there's no covenant there, or if there is covenant, it's not covenant that they intend to keep. They don't intend to keep their vows for better or for worse. And worse is a real possibility. When that happens, you see the destruction of the family. You see the destruction of a civilization. And I think you're also witnessing the destruction of the church.
Yeah. And at this point, he's in trouble. He can't even afford his own lawyer costs. Apparently, the lawyers are offering pro bono costs for defending this guy. And he doesn't even hardly make enough money, $3,000-$4,000 per month to pay for his own food. And so he cannot cannot provide for his own family. He cannot raise his own children. Dave, what happens to the little boys? I mean, again, the next generation, this stuff is perpetrated again and again and again from generation to generation. And it just doesn't get any better, does it?
No, it doesn't. The boys have a difficult choice. One is to say, hey, my father was a professional basketball player. I want to be just like him. And so they're going to go have four wives. They're going to fornicate. They're not going to pay their child support. They'll be just like their daddy. Or their other is to break the fifth commandment and say, I dishonor my father. He was a terrible person. I don't want to be anything like him. Either way, they don't have a good out unless the Holy Spirit grabs their heart and they say, I'm going to forgive my father and I'm going to be a better man by the blood of Christ.
Yeah, we saw that in Courageous. Remember? In Courageous, you have a picture of a number of men. I think there was an African-American man in that mix who forgave his father and lived a godly life. I mean, the man was willing to disciple his own children. He was there for his kids, and his father wasn't, but he's willing to forgive. He was willing to be a son to his heavenly father and continue to nurture his own children in the nurture of the Lord. So it can happen, Dave, and I think that's the message we want to send home. I mean, okay, so we've got complete devastation going on here. Never too late for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never too late. Never too late. And do you think that we're going to fix it by better schools? Evidently, that's what Juan Williams thinks. You think that's going to fix the problem? No way. No way, no way, no way. You think race riots are going to solve this problem? You think a huge revolution where we shed lots and lots of blood is going to solve this problem? You think that turning all these guys into Muslims is going to solve that problem? Friends, nothing short of the blood of Jesus Christ is going to solve the problem. Dave, I think the people don't understand how deep this issue is. That this issue goes very, very, very deep. This sin is multi-generational. The bitterness is multi-generational. The hatred is multi-generational. The fornication is multi-generational. Fill in the blank. The lack of fatherhood is multi-generational, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And until somebody meets Jesus Christ, and when that happens, then you have faith and repentance and a whole new life, and everything becomes new.
And Kevin, this is the problem, of course, with going out and making disciples of all nations. teaching them everything that Christ has commanded and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't do very well evangelizing Muslims because there are boundaries. It's not just religious.
Yeah.
It's ethnic. It's cultural. We have to bring a gospel that penetrates and then changes society. One of the problems is we expect Christians to act differently. We expect us to look not like gangsters, but look like people who honor Christ.
And Dave, again, the mistake is people aren't doing the Great Commission. We talked a couple of days ago with some of the guys here in the Shepherd Center about what's going on in South Africa. And I said, the bottom line is segregation doesn't work. Apartheid doesn't work. Putting Indians onto the reservation didn't work. That doesn't work. It doesn't work to segregate all of these tribes into their own little area, and we can have our own nice little safe little life all by ourselves. Doesn't work in South Africa. Not going to work here, friends. You can try doing that. You can try to have your nice little separated Christian existence away from all the pagan tribes, but no. You've got to get into the pagan tribes no matter where they are. And you've got to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple the nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded. That's what God wants us doing. It's like checkmate, friends. There are no other options. You're either going to have to go into the inner cities. You're either going to have to go into the African tribes in South Africa or anywhere else. You're going to have to go into Mexico. You have to go all over the world, and you're going to have to disciple the nations. Otherwise, the nations are going to come here, and you're probably going to have a fair amount of anarchy and tyranny going on until somebody disciples the nations, meaning you take some young men, you teach them the Word of God, walk them through the book of Proverbs, take them to the cross of Jesus Christ, have them repent of their sins and learn to walk in obedience to Jesus and obey all the commands that Jesus has commanded, and of course go through the book of Proverbs and live out the book of Proverbs and disciple those young men until they're ready to have their own families and disciple their own families in the Word of God, teaching their children God's Word as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down, and hopefully becoming future elders and pastors in the Church of Jesus Christ, and voila, you've got a biblical social system on your hands. And that's got to happen everywhere. Friends, we're going to be back in just a moment to talk about just a few other things before we wrap up this program. Stay with us.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here talking about the racial thing today on the Generations Broadcast. And Dave, I'm always a little afraid to talk about this thing because the minute I bring up the issue of race, or we talk about color, or we talk about different cultures and tribes, I can get a lot of pushback. I mean, I have people out there that the minute you go there, you just get people calling you a racist. I don't even believe in race. I don't even want race. I believe there are different cultures, and I believe there are different sins, and I believe we all need to repent of our various sins and come to the cross of Jesus Christ and find great unity there, because Jesus cleanses us from our various sins. And but I hate the idea of racism. But Dave, I think that it is still alive and well. I was on a jury. I won't tell you what county, but I was in a jury a couple of 2-3 years ago. And Dave, I hung that jury. I single-handedly hung the jury because I truly believe that the woman did not break the law of the land. She certainly didn't break the law of God. And I knew that, but it was difficult to maintain that, you know, before the jury and before the court. So I looked at the law, and I as far as I could tell, she did not break the law of the land either. But there are members of the jury that just did not like what I was saying. And they said, just look at her. She's guilty. Just look at her. She's guilty. And, Dave, I really believe that there was – I mean, it was an all-white jury, and here was an African-American woman being judged by this jury. I thought there was something racist there. And they just – I mean, the way they reacted to me, I mean, there was hatred towards me. Dave, at that point, I couldn't believe it. These other jurists were hating me because I really felt that I was defending this African American woman. I hung the jury single-handedly. I think there's some racism out there still.
Of course there's racism out there still. As long as it's us against them or them against us, as long as one culture pits itself against another culture or one skin color against another skin color, we're going to have pushback. We're going to have prejudices. We're going to have things that the Bible actually forbids.
Yeah.
You know, we see a man. I look at a man. I see a man.
Yeah.
That's what I should see. I see a sinner who needs Jesus.
Sure. Absolutely. Made in the image of God, and he needs Jesus Christ, and this man needs to be in the kingdom. And, you know, that's the way I think as well. And Dave, you know what? I get some of the biggest pushback on this program from those who have sort of racist tendencies. And it's just sad that that kind of thing happens. I mean, R.C. Sproul Jr. has been persecuted. I think he's been persecuted online by people, and I don't know who these people are. They don't have names as far as I know, but they're kinists. They call themselves kinists. And as far as I can tell, Dave, these people don't appreciate the fact that R.C. Sproul, out of the kindness of his heart, opened up his home to these little African-American babies.
He adopted them.
Oh, we adopted them. Yeah.
He just opened up his home.
And he got serious persecution. I mean, these guys are pulling him out, and they are trashing his reputation as best as they can. And Dave, I mean, you've read from the site there, apparently these people prohibit interracial marriages on the basis of the fact that God wanted the animals to mate kind after kind. And now they're taking what God intended for animals and they're applying it to humans, saying that certain humans are not of the same kind as other humans. Dave, that's just vile.
It is vile.
I see it. I mean, that's some of the worst translations and applications of God's word that I've ever seen. I mean, I understand that cults are a dime a dozen, but this is totally far-fetched in its application of God's word.
Well, the syllogism fails because one of the conditions fails, and that's there's things called kinds. There was one. There's actually two kinds of humans. I agree, males and females. And there was one of each kind in the garden before sin. And from that one of each kind
came all the others.
Came all the others. Yeah. And so you have a single ancestral parent.
I think the kinists must be evolutionary. They must be evolutionary.
Or they deny the real Adam.
The evolution of man out of various species. And effectively, they're following Darwin and the descent of mankind, who did say that all these different races come from different species over a long period of time, and somehow they're interrelating, and he was really eugenicist.
Well,
Darwin was eugenicist.
I don't see that
on
their blood. I don't see that on their website. But I do get the sense that perhaps they don't think that Adam and Eve were literal human beings in history, and therefore there was lots of them, and maybe Adam and Eve represented Israel in some sense. But what we definitely have here is that they think that a person with black skin is a different kind from a person with yellowish skin is a different kind from somebody with white skin. But I wonder how far that goes. I mean, do I have to marry my sister? Is that where my kind is?
Yeah.
Or can I marry my first cousin?
Yeah.
You know, because you know, I'm guilty of this.
These guys located in the far off hills of Kentucky somewhere, or I don't know.
I don't know how many teeth they have.
Exactly. But again, they exist. They're on the internet. Evidently, racism is not dead.
No, racism is certainly not dead, but it is what it is. It's a prejudice, it's a pride in oneself, and it's a hatred of others, and it needs to be repented of.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just dealing with the real world out there, and again, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be a kinist, you can be an evolutionist, you can be a humanist, you can be a human-sacrificing African, you could be a homosexual, you could be a fornicator, a liar. It doesn't matter where you come from. You all need to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and start confessing your sins, your bitterness, your hatred, your fornication. That's what you do. There was one sacrifice for sin, and that was Jesus Christ. We need to claim that sacrifice and receive it by faith, and then walk in love. Walk in love. And love our neighbor as ourselves. and not carry on a life of hatred and bitterness, and then let that foment into revolution, and then create the civil wars of the nations, and then, again, create more and more and more misery on planet Earth. All that stems from sinful hearts that refuse Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we like to share it from time to time on this radio program. You can interact with my program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. Please, if you're a racist and you hate other people of different colors, I'm going to ask you not to email me. I'm just going to ask you to repent of your racism, your hatred, and go to Christ with it. Okay, so if you're racist, please, please do not write. But if you're anybody else and you want to interact with this program, please email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.